This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Former Browns offensive lineman Jason Pinkston with us just moments ago talking about is there a difference or should there be a difference between 0-8 down the stretch or 4-4? Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. It is a football Friday. It is an F-off Friday. We got the 5 at 5 coming up. Daryl, it's 6. Very excited for that. But, I know we've gotten into this, but I think what's interesting about this idea is because on one hand, I don't think 4-4 should change a damn thing. This season is such a massive disappointment, and everybody wants to focus on, yeah, but they've been a 500 team with the Browns. That in and of itself is wildly offensive. Like, guys, we can dream of being better than 500 across a four-year stretch. It's okay. We're not being unreasonable. But not only that, okay, so I don't think there should be a huge difference between 0-8 and 4-4. What I will say is, though, I still have the memory of Eric Mangini etched into the back of my brain where that guy went from fired beyond all reason to they hired Mike Holmgren. Mangini won, I think it was 4 straight or 4 of his last 5, and then we had to deal through the lame duck year the next year. So I do think there's a difference. I think it's plausible that there could be a difference between 0-8 and 4-4.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, what you're describing is it's very similar to after Hugh Jackson was gone and then Greg Williams won a bunch of games, but they didn't want to hire Greg Williams, so they hired the closest thing to Greg Williams there, and that was Freddie Kitchens. And maybe something like that could even... We haven't even thought about that.
Can we just put a little respect on Greg Williams' name there?
Hold on now. We hadn't thought about this for a second. Like, if they go 4-4, let's say 6-2... Is there a chance they get rid of Stefanski and actually then promote up Ken Dorsey? Because that I think is the worst case scenario.
No.
I would be actively rooting against wins if I thought that was on the horizon.
There's only one guy. And here's the thing. I don't know. He'll take it. I don't know if that's the guy they'd want to hire. But no, I don't think so.
And I agree with you. I just had to get that out.
You've mentioned, though, that specific to this Sunday, you've mentioned the term guilt-free win. Hey, walk us through that.
No, I wonder if this is the last week where you can have one of those. First off, the Vegas says everything is close. And we're not having that moving forward, by the way. Steelers game, Chiefs game, Bengals game. The lines aren't going to be anywhere close to the Browns' favor. I wonder if this is one of those games where you can feel like on paper it's supposed to be close. You get the win. You beat a team that I don't know if we can say we're still supposed to beat any team. Mm-hmm. But you get a win against a team like the Saints that you can easily have. And you don't have to feel bad about draft position or your draft order. Because I think after this week, we're really going to start to turn the tides. We're going to start talking about quarterbacks. We'll talk about Shedeur Sanders. We're going to talk about even guys like Travis Hunter if we don't go quarterback. And we'll talk about draft position.
Not Jalen Milroe.
Definitely not Jalen Milroe. But it's basically Lamar Jackson. What are we doing here? But I think this might be the last week to have a win and not feel guilty about the draft position.
I think that might have been Baltimore already.
Might be.
Because here's the thing.
The opportunity might have already came and went.
I really think there's a chance that if you win this game on Sunday, whether it's 5% or 25% or 50%, there's going to be people who hop back on the bandwagon. All right? And because those fans just always want optimism. And by the way, it's the best way to live. Right? To hell with draft position. To hell with Stefanski and making a decision on him or Andrew Berry. To hell with... Let's just win games. And
just give me my wins.
And there is a part of me that, like, guys, I'm not going to be mad in the moment if they win. It's just the thing that we'll look back on potentially 8 weeks from now and go, well, that's the thing that cost you the number one or number two pick in the draft, and that might be the difference between being able to draft a quarterback and not.
Right. Well, so correct me if I'm wrong. I thought earlier in the week you had mentioned how you can't root, you just can't root for losses. That's not a thing that you're capable of, right?
Yeah. So, not in the game. Like, it's
so
just
when you're watching this, there's no scenario where you're like, that interception by Jameis, that was an awful thing, even if the interception in turn does steal the game.
So if they have a really bad game and then they just have a good quarter, right? Like the fact where they just look like the worst team by far for 40 minutes, 50 minutes of clock time, and then for 10 minutes they do like the garbage time thing. Like basically what they almost did was at the Cincinnati game. Yeah, the Cincinnati game. Like where really the Cincinnati was playing prevent defense. Deshaun was hurt. DTR was hurt, in quotations, and the emergency quarterback was in. Like, and then against prevent defense, they scored a cheap touchdown. Like if they scored a cheap touchdown to get a win, I'd be like, well, this is objectively dumb.
Now, that's the worst way to have these games go, isn't it?
But I don't think there's any more. Like, I do think the appropriate response is outside of the 1-4 window when you're watching the game. If they lose on Sunday at 3:15, it's more going to be like 4:15, 4:17. But at 4:17, you're going to go, man, it sucks to lose, and then you're going to say another one down. As soon as the game is over, I'm right back to being pragmatic with it.
Okay, because it's just such a long way. I mean, we have so many games left in the season.
Yeah, and that's what I think is really rough here is this is in three games.
Right, it's different if it's the end of the year.
Yeah, this is, and by the way, in fairness, your season was probably over the second you lost to Cincinnati.
I mean, and we can make an argument that maybe the Cincinnati game's right, but I think a lot of us knew even approaching like the Eagles game and really after the Commanders game, this was going nowhere. You just can't tell yourself that because it's such a long season.
So the Ravens game was this flicker of, oh, we can win a game again. And then you went out there and just got dominated by the Chargers at home. It really feels like, I mean, think about that. 2 full months plus the first week of January where if you don't win a game through the rest of the stretch, I mean, that is an incredibly long time. That's why everybody prognosticating about changes, you're having this conversation at a point where it's still very convenient to be like, but two coach of the years, but Andrew Berry's beloved.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think people realize, like, this is why when you and I talked earlier, it could get so much uglier from here because this losing could end up ramping up time and time again from the Saints to the Steelers all the way back to the Steelers 2 weeks later. Like, I'm not saying they're definitively going 0-8. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there are guilt-free wins here because every win is going to take you farther from the thing. And I know right now, there's not a great draft class or it's not a great quarterback draft class. Yeah, you can't worry about that. You really can't. Because the best thing for this organization, and I hate that I'm saying this, with 8 games to go, is get the number one pick. Because even if you don't want to use it, there's always going to be somebody that's quarterback hungry, and there's always going to be a really good chance to recoup future assets for that next class if you want to wait a year.
Which is 100% right. I wonder how many fans look at it that way. I mean, I can't help myself. You know, this is just how I am. I'm always looking at the moments you don't know. At the moment, the playoffs and a deep postseason run is off the table, then you got to be thinking about the draft and you got to be thinking about, but it's an awful way to be a fan.
Yeah.
It absolutely stinks.
Well, and I think what's so funny, I'm so glad you said that because that ties in with the now 8 or 9 games of just, hey, if you keep losing these games, it is going to turn fans off and farther off and farther off, and it's only going to get worse here. And that makes this different than anything that happened in the Haslam era previously. It makes it different than the Mangini thing. Because now you're looking at this and you're going, man, we were supposed to be a Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be a team that at least was capable of winning back-to-back seasons. And there are going to be two reactions. Fans are only going to get more apathetic, or they're only going to get angrier. And angry Browns fans have gotten it done in this town. And I'm not trying to reduce everything down to the firing thing, but like, we haven't seen angry Browns fans like this, because now it's not just the anger of losing. It is the absolute egg on your face of having the worst trade completed in NFL history, and it's on your team, and it's the thing that took you out of competition.
Right.
Like, it really is. It is a ball of bleep. It is a ball of crap. And, again, I think there are just some fans who say, I'm just not a Browns fan anymore. Or, you know what? When they make it worth it, maybe I'll come back. But I'm going to find different things to do. I don't think that's a majority of people. I think majority of people are saying, well, they said, because those same fans that you talked about the people who maybe don't think about, you know, the next year already, or the draft, or whatever. Or
yeah, who just want to enjoy their Sunday.
Yeah.
Root for a win, enjoy your team playing well.
Those people heard Andrew Berry a week ago say, hey, we got 8 games left, we got a lot to prove. So,
well,
okay.
And he put a lot on Stefanski in that moment as well, and they said they're trying.
Yeah, and that's...
We have to hold them to that. They said they're trying.
The downside of that, and again, they might be lying, but this is where lying and not succeeding is a real problem. Like, if they don't intend to... Listen, it's bad. If you go 0-8 or 1-7 from here, it's bad. Whether you're trying to lose or whether you're trying to win, it's bad. But if you tell every fan who heard that and said, not a hell, Nick and Jonathan are talking out there, you know what, right? Because there are people who are mad at us because we're like, 2-7, what do we do from here, right? Because, hey, no, we got 8 games to go. Those are the fans that you're going to be the most, that are going to be the most upset with you, and those are going to be the most vitriolic.
I don't know. I think a lot of fans have a good understanding of what's going on right now, and I think a lot of fans understand what we just said 5 minutes ago, that the season is cooked, the season's over, there's nothing really anyone's playing for outside of draft position, but there's always going to be that mental block that you have to get over when the game gets underway. Watching Cedric Tillman have a completed pass from Deshaun Watson for a 45-yard touchdown or something, how do you then in that moment tell yourself, no, I gotta stop myself. That wasn't an awesome play. That wasn't cool because that just... I'm watching NFL Tankathon. We're just moved from the 3rd spot to the 7th spot now with the draft order.
Jay Hammy, 115 on social media. Social media reactions. 115
is the important part there.
On X, had to get it right. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He said, you're an idiot, like, and you're, but he got the you're right.
He spelled
right.
You're right? Oh, that's good then.
Good for you. All fans are that don't root for wins. We have no evidence that we can draft. I want a fist down, let alone a TD, let alone a win.
He wants a fist down? Is that what you said?
I think what he means is a first down.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I just think typing isn't his forte.
Okay.
Yeah, I think...
Fist down could be a new thing.
I think Jeremy's the guy who right now is calling me an idiot, and I think 8 games from now, he's going to put that vitriol somewhere else.
Well, you're an idiot for rooting for the team?
No. I think he's saying you're an idiot for suggesting that fans aren't rooting for this team or that some people might be rooting against this team. And that's fine.
What do you honestly think that number is? Because I would have no idea. Is it 50? Is it 50-50?
I have to dream it up. Maybe 40-20?
40-20?
40.
That's not 100.
I was doing 40-20-40. 216-474-0092. Is there such a thing as a guilt-free win left this year? Meaning, if they win on Sunday, are you going to think at all about draft position or what it means for the rest of this year? And the other half of this, there might be some people not just rooting for a draft pick. They might be rooting for redemption, retribution, their pound of flesh. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. That guy in Cleveland responding to our conversation about is there such thing as a guilt-free win this year? Meaning that if the Browns win on Sunday, will you not then think, you might have just hurt your draft positioning? And that guy in Cleveland saying, to at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, at this point, I just want to see a good game. Win or lose doesn't matter to me because we're not making the playoffs. And I think it'll be interesting if they won the next 2 games, it'd be really interesting to see how quickly people start doing the math. But yeah, I think everybody thinks this season is lost until the Browns do something that none of us think that they can do. And I think, you know, we're also having the 4-4 versus 0-8 conversation from here on out.
Yeah.
And we both kind of pointed out, like, everybody's making these sweeping kind of generalizations about the Browns coaching situation or Andrew Berry's future. And the reality is you're doing this at 2-7. I think it's easy to give the vote of confidence then. If they get to 2-15, it's going to be really interesting to see how they handle that. And Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel, former NFL quarterback, of course, Diana with The Athletic, they were on the Scoop City podcast. And I was actually surprised at this answer because they were going through all the coaching situations in the NFL. And I was surprised that this was kind of Diane's rundown of the Browns situation.
There are very few coaches and GMs right now in football that I would say right now are safe. Like where I feel so comfortable saying that. I don't feel really comfortable saying that just yet. I don't. I just think it's too
early
for some of these teams.
You're dropping bombs without dropping bombs.
I don't know if that's a bomb. I think you look at how this is.
How could you not want Stefanski, though, in my opinion? Two-time coach of the year?
Two-time coach of the year.
You know what I mean?
A phenomenal play caller. Yeah. A great leader. But sometimes in these scenarios, owners don't really care about any of that. They want to see production. And if you don't win, and this is why this is such a stressful career choice for these guys, because if you don't get that win, nobody cares. Ask Robert Saleh right now, who I'm sure would love to get back in.
How much does the two-time coach of the year thing inflate Stefanski's stock?
Because, it's been the only thing, Nick.
I mean, it seems like, it's the lead.
Every time.
Like, I think if we were talking about, like, if I was a pro Stefanski guy.
Literally every time, though.
I'm Switzerland. I know there are things that I like.
Switzerland.
Well, no, just because I actually call them out on stuff. Like, I'm sorry. That's an indictment on people who either have a personal relationship with him or who basically don't want to rock the boat. And you're neither, by the way. But I'm just saying, like, I think there are a lot of people saying the thing because they're afraid that somebody on Twitter might be mean to them about Kevin Stefanski. But the truth is, like, I'm Switzerland. I don't want him gone yet. I'm annoyed a lot about this season. And I think he is getting a pass for this season, which is probably why I'm so annoyed and so vocal about Kevin.
Okay.
But when it comes to this, if I was Mr. Stefanski, if I was pro Stefanski,
yeah.
How do you not lead with a play calling thing?
That should be the ace up your sleeve. Like, well, that's the best thing that he does.
But the fact that it isn't tells me that I think the generalization is the thing that carries water with this cat is the two-time coach of the year. And if that's truly his value, it's the thing I do not care about.
No, I just think it's a part of it. I think it's a part of the conversation. I think it's a part that, how many fans, how many phone calls have we taken where people do lead with two-time coach of the year? It's not what's going to keep him his job. It's going to be the play calling stuff. It's going to be the other parts of it. Unfortunately, right now, Nick, the other parts of it don't look that good.
Well, and the other big thing is, so like, I actually agree, Kevin is a great play caller. I don't think that should keep your job as a head coach, by the way.
No, like, it might mean you're a good offensive coordinator, and it might mean there's a lot that could mean.
Now, granted, the Browns have had a lot of head coaches that were offensive from the offensive side of the ball who weren't good play callers in Cleveland. Hugh Jackson was supposed to be a good play caller, came to Cleveland. Apparently, you need talent for that.
Yeah.
But I the weird thing was when she said a great leader.
Yeah, that caught me by surprise, too.
Because, I mean, I just, the things that I've heard that maybe Kevin isn't the best at, one of them is communication. Like communicating, dissemination of the message, right? Hey, this is what we're going to do this year. I think when you start to realize and hear the push, or hear the fact that the organization at points, or the players, the locker room, and the coaches don't always seem to be on the same page, I think some of that is communication. And I think part of this season, like that weird wonky thing where Kevin was like, yeah, Deshaun's going to play in the preseason. And Deshaun's like, I don't know, am I? Like, I think some of that's on Kevin. I think there are points where Deshaun legitimately didn't know. Communication to me is one of the biggest tentpoles of leadership.
Yeah, I never gave him an A-plus in that category. I've never felt like he was the guy that players wanted to run through a brick wall for.
Yeah, that's another great way to define it as well.
Like, no one's confusing him for Tony Robbins. Let's put it that way. But when you hired him, you knew that's who he was, though. You know, when you hired him, you knew he wasn't going to be that guy. Like, when you hire Jim Harbaugh, you know the quirkiness, you know the leadership that you get, you know everything attached to hiring Jim Harbaugh. When you hired Stefanski, you were hiring an offensive coordinator whiz. You were hiring someone that you thought was going to be a very good OC-type mind and then was going to be able to fill in the gaps. And it's been 5 years. We haven't seen him fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 500 coach.
Yeah.
That's who he is. He's a 506 winning percentage now. And why that's relevant is they're 2-7. So he's only, quote unquote, five games below 500 here this year. So that means like you were just a titch over 500 in the first place before this bad season. So by the end of the season, you could be below 500. And I know winning percentage isn't the end all be all.
Right.
But 5 years in, if we had said 5 years ago, because this is the thing that drives me crazy, because it always goes to, but, two-time coach of the year. But look, he's had success in Cleveland and nobody has. Okay, but if we go back 4 years, now going on 5 years, and mm-hmm. said one playoff win, two playoff runs, and three losing seasons, I don't know we would expect him to get the sixth year, and nobody's pointing that out yet, even if in her way. I mean, Diana is saying, yeah, I don't think he's safe.
No, they haven't caught hip to it. But it's something I took flack for before the season got underway, because in the NFL, you just don't get 5 years with one playoff win and to keep your job. Like, mm-hmm. That was something I almost sounded like a broken record. And people hated it because he just got the extension and people are, oh, he's so safe. Extensions don't mean anything. Jimmy Haslam spends $20 million on sports complexes in the city. Like, he's got a lot of money. The extension doesn't mean anything to an NFL head coach. Like, he was always going to be this way if the season went down this way.
And it was so interesting because one of the other things that Diana has said was that the style of coach that is in vogue this offseason is the Mike Vrabel. It is the leader of men. It is the culture guys.
Well, and I think a lot of that is based off of what we just saw with Jim Harbaugh, by the way.
Yeah.
It's always what's in vogue right now is part of what you're seeing be successful. And you're watching Harbaugh in the blink of an eye, the way Harbaugh's always done, by the way. But in the snap of a finger, he's been able to have the Chargers being a completely different team.
And I think, you know,
Dan Campbell, another one of these guys, too, by the way.
And so I think their success really matters. I also think, If leadership isn't a strength, and if you're not naturally a great leader, this is the kind of situation where it gets exposed the most. Because let's be honest here, guys, if they end up 2-15, they shouldn't have ended up that way. It doesn't mean they should be, but it doesn't mean they should have been a playoff team. We could have patently been wrong. This is not me trying to spin a yarn to show people, hey, see, we were wrong about it. No. But this going, do you realize how hard it is to go from 11-5 to 2-15?
Do you know how hard it is just to go to 2-15 in
yes.
general?
Yes.
Like there are teams that try to go 2-15 and can't even pull it off.
Order of operations matters,
into
though.
Some wins.
Like, you've got 4 years to establish culture. And to get to this bad.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing.
This is stunningly bad.
When you think you have a Super Bowl roster and everything is set up perfect for you this year, and then to go 2-15 is, it's mind-blowing.
And I think the narrative that will be starting to be spun as this goes on is something you pointed out in our pre-show when we were talking, that there's a chance that this thing, by the end of it, if they do go 2-15 or 3-14, whatever it is, 4-13 don't look much better, but it's at least two more wins down an impossible stretch. There's going to that narrative of Stefanski dug his own grave by bringing Vrabel in, and having that in the locker room, of having somebody who looks and is a culture coach be some nebulous assistant mm-hmm. while you're going through the biggest struggle of your career. Yeah, I think that stark contrast, it's got to be impossible not to see if you're in Berea and your leadership.
I mean, I just wonder. I wonder if Jimmy Haslam, you know, sees Vrabel and sees him up close and personal and probably is wowed by him the way that a lot of people have been wowed by Vrabel in his life. Sees that, and then it's odd because, you know, a lot of people gave Stefanski a round of applause when he brought Vrabel in. It was like, all right, you're letting the local yeah. kid coach the team that he grew up rooting for, and that's very nice, but you're stacking together good head coaches, and you can never have too many good head coaches. And out of the corner of one other part of the NFL world was the people saying, oh, no, like that's nice that you're doing that, but you don't have to do people favors like that. Like, you know that guy's going to be coming for your job. And lo and behold, how many weeks later, now we see the guy in – I don't think it's a coincidence that he's getting more responsibilities, it seems like, in Berea. And if the Haslams are around the way they are, they're seeing what's going on.
Well, and I just think, like, I just think these 5 years with Stefanski have showed me the importance of the culture coach, the guy who is the CEO, the guy who is a natural leader. Because, I don't know that Kevin is a bad leader, but I don't think he's a natural leader. I think he's a naturally nice guy. I think he's naturally a really, really brilliant football mind when it comes to X's and O's. I think he is a guy who I think has some good tendencies about him, just overall, things that I don't see. I'm sure there are those things, but he's not a culture guy.
Well, but he didn't get hired by accident, too. The stretch 5 years ago, think about it. Sean McVay, I don't think Sean McVay is a great culture guy necessarily, but Sean McVay, Sean McVay, when he first got hired in Los Angeles, it was him and it was Wade Phillips, and they were basically, they were equal part offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, combo head coach.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like a lot of people have tried to do that as well. Same setup you have right now in Cincinnati, and it might end up getting Taylor fired, but same type of setup. Strong offensive coordinator, strong defensive coordinator. They share a lot of those responsibilities. I mean, even in Green Bay, like all those type of guys, the guys that got hired because they're offensive coordinator geniuses, we're just seeing it kind of go away in recent years relative to some of the Dan Campbells, the Jim Harbaughs, the big personality guys.
Well, and I just think, like, you're in a division where two teams win almost every year, and it's with two culture guys in Harbaugh and Tomlin.
Right.
Right? Tomlin was 1 year as a defensive coordinator. John Harbaugh never was a special teams coordinator that became a defensive back coach for like 2 years, and that got him bumped up. Those are culture guys. They win every year,
yeah, I think,
you've had the fluctuating of 11 wins and 8 wins with offensive guys, and I think you're great to point out the Cincinnati thing.
I wonder, we know you can get it done. We know you can. Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota isn't a great culture guy necessarily. Brian Flores, you would think, would be the stopgap there, the defensive coordinator, but Brian Flores, asked Tua what he thinks about Brian Flores. You know, like some teams are able to pull it off. Browns just don't seem like they're one of those.
216-474-0092. As we have the conversation today, the question is, do the Browns need more of a cultural head coach? And I think that leads to whether or not Stefanski might have dug his own grave by having Mike Vrabel still around, whether Mike Vrabel would be the next head coach or not. That, and there's another thing Diana had to say. And again, she refused to say or didn't say that Stefanski was safe going forward. That's noteworthy given how plugged in she is on that. She threw out a significant number in terms of coaching openings for this next year. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Hey, guys. Nick Wilson here. Big weekend in Cleveland in the NBA. Right? We're going cupping, going streaking. We're all doing it together. And FanDuel, well, FanDuel is America's number one sports book for a reason, and they want you to catch all the action all season long, not just here in Cleveland, because FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beaters, place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of our friends at FanDuel. You guys know I love me some FanDuel, whether I'm there for Friday First or Hump Day Parlays or just a great slate of college football or NFL or NBA. Whatever I do it on FanDuel, and you can too. Just visit FanDuel.com/Wilson. That's FanDuel.com/Wilson.
It's mid-November, and I feel like we need to just discuss the fact that I think we're going to be talking about 9-10 openings, and it's only 10? November. It
I just
only
went
gets
the
worse.
List. I can only find 8.
Well, that's what's fun about this exercise, okay? So look at it this way. There's a bunch of the obvious ones that we've been talking about since pretty much last year, but then there's always an outlier team, always, no matter,
I know
no matter
my
what
outlier
you say,
team.
No matter what you think. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's always that team that you're like, oh my God. Then maybe you have possible people stepping away, right? You have to consider those. Is that on the table for any coaches that don't want to do it anymore? You have a lot of these little scenarios that you have to think about. I think this is going to be a really big season in terms of the coaching cycle.
Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel on the Scoop City podcast. Like, if you're saying, I think Diana pointed this out within that clip, if you're saying 9 or 10 head coaching openings are likely in the first week of November, I guess this is now the second week of November, you can probably guess another one or two openings would pop up. And if you get to 11 openings, that is a third of the NFL, which is wild considering 7 teams had new head coaches last year. That would be two-thirds of the NFL changing over head coaches within 3 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it happens a lot. That's like, you know what I mean? That's why I try to always tell people about Stefanski this last offseason. It was like, you don't get 5 years with one playoff win because owners are just too temperamental. GMs know that their jobs are on the line based off the head coach's perception as well. And let's be honest, the head coaches get bus tossed in this whole equation. Like they are. If you're not winning, and even when you're winning, you just get bus tossed as quick as can be.
Well, and let's be honest, like this is also why the NFL might want to at some point figure out the whole quarterback issue. Right? Like, granted, I can't remember who said it, but one of the fantasy football nerds sent out that they think people have that people think quarterback sucks in the NFL because
their fantasy teams aren't doing
well.
Yes,
exactly. Thank you.
Okay.
And I for a second I was like, yeah, that's probably right. And I'm like, no, I've watched quarterbacking in the NFL this year. It doesn't look great.
It's just bad. Yeah.
Like, and so I just now, in fairness, there is the conversation. Our team's running through quarterbacks too quickly. It used to be, we're going to give you 4 seasons because we've got an $80 million guarantee because we drafted you number one overall, so you're going to get 4 seasons no matter what. Now it is, well, we've got to make a decision on you as early as possible so we don't pick up that 5th-year option and so that we can try and get somebody in here. But that the quarterback carousel is probably the biggest driver of firing head coaches than anything, even if you've got a guy you like in Chicago, mm-hmm. where it's, oh, you're screwing this guy up. Who knows if that's true or not?
Right. Caleb Williams could just, some of the rumors we had at USC could just be entirely true.
Just be not all there.
Just not good. Yeah. It's fine. It does happen, but that's part of it, though. Think about how hard this is as a coach. You get blamed for not having the ones that are supposed to be sure things, and then the ones that aren't sure things, you're like, well, hey, look at all the quarterbacks that end up becoming good. You're supposed to make them good. Like, I have the same expectations for if the Browns were to draft a quarterback this year. We've talked about how bad the class is ad nauseum, but like, if they took a quarterback, I'd be like, oh, Stefanski. Like, there's no excuses. You have to get this guy to be great. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to win a lot of games. Like, this is what you're supposed to be good at. And if he wasn't able to, then yeah, I'd be shopping around for a head coach. But this happens everywhere across the NFL.
So given that Diana threw out 9 to 10 openings, I had Matt compile a list of coaches that are seen somewhere on the hot seat.
Okay.
Right? All the way from, in the case of the Jets in New Orleans, their coaches have already been fired. So that's 2 openings already. But there's probably another 10 coaches that I think are in the conversation.
Okay.
And we're going to do a watcher warning here. And now if Jax Gregory's listening, I'd sit this one out because you're not going to know the difference. A watch means the conditions are right for that coach to be fired, but a decision probably hasn't been made yet.
Okay.
A warning is something is imminent. It's just a matter of time before they get marked. So
got it.
I wanted to start with Matt Eberflus in Chicago. Warning or watch?
Watch.
Yeah. Whoa, really?
Wait, do I have the game right? Sorry. Warning. Sorry. Wait, hold on. The watch warning thing was not for me. Now I'm
Wait,
like Jax.
Are you also like Jax?
Yeah, I think I might be like Jax. I don't think the watch warning thing
watch
is for me.
Watch is they're safer right now.
Yeah, I know. Warning I just confused is something in my head there. I was like, I went back and forth. I'm like, wait, so the watch, hold on. One more time for me.
Watch means it's safer.
Watch means it's safer.
Yeah.
Warning means
it's imminent.
It's imminent. It's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's just a matter of time.
We have a warning for Eberflus.
Okay, we agree.
It's a warning.
Which is wild because his record isn't that bad, and the NFC is just like the AFC. It's pretty wide open. Yeah, they're not going to make it. That's not going to happen. Dave Canales in Carolina.
That's a watch.
Yeah, I agree too. I think he would really have to. I mean, I think this thing would have to go way in the tank. Mostly because Tepper at that point would be paying three coaches at once. And that is, I mean, that is beyond Jimmy Haslaming, because that's also three different coaching staffs. Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay.
Watch.
I'm on a warning with that one.
Really?
It's 4-6. 4-6, we can kind of make it.
Yeah, but they've looked good, though.
Yeah.
In going 4-6 and losing Godwin and Evans, they still have looked, they look good. I think taking the Chiefs to overtime a couple weeks ago really helped out that case in a lot of ways. I think he's fine.
I would be, at this point, I'd be surprised if he's back, but that's all right. Zach Taylor in Cincinnati.
Still watch.
Agreed.
Would not be surprised if it turns into a warning in a couple weeks, though.
And what's okay, but I actually think they're going to do fine. I think they're going to make the playoffs. Well, okay, that's a tough ask right now. But I think they've got a chance to make a playoff push. Shane Steichen in Indy.
Still a watch.
Yep, would agree. I'd actually be surprised if he got fired.
Yeah.
I think that's people thinking Ballard's going to get fired, and if Ballard gets fired, maybe they want a new head coach.
I think Shane Steichen can do this. But again, he might fall victim to what we were just talking about. We took Anthony Richardson, and because every quarterback you take in the first round has to be great, why isn't this guy great instantly? But Mike, I think he's going to have more time.
Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Oh, that's a warning.
I think that's a watch.
No, he's good as gone.
I mean, Jerry Jones not gutted this team entirely, but they put a lot of players that have been really good for them for a while and then didn't replace them, and then Dak got hurt. I actually think Dak getting hurt might play in favor of keeping. The guy did win 36 games the previous 3 years.
You know I'm a confident human when it comes to these takes and when it comes to these opinions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I am more confident that Mike McCarthy will be fired than anything else you can throw at me in the next 5 months.
Like
if you wanted to go ahead and, like, I would put any bet up there, put any sort of whatever you think would be appropriate up. He's gone. He is gone.
So we are playing watch and warning with potential hot seat candidates around the NFL.
That would be a double warning, friend.
A double warning. I don't think you can have double warning.
Can we juice up the warnings? I feel like those kids that do the boom, the Costco or Sam's Club kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boom, and they just go boom, boom, boom. How many booms is that? That's me with the warnings. I'm just going to scream out warnings.
Those are the future leaders of America. Doug Peterson and Jackson.
They're very funny, but I never remember their names.
There's AJ, Big AJ.
Oh, you
Lil
know
C.
You know, isn't one of them the Rizzler?
Rizzler.
Yeah, the Rizzler.
Mikey D. I think I might be getting into Beastie Boy guy's name.
It cracks me up.
Doug Peterson in Jacksonville.
Lost kid of Jersey Shore. Yeah, it's a warning.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's gone. He almost got fired within that London game.
And
I didn't think he was going to make it out of the half.
That is, just don't go to London if you're a Jags coach. Antonio Pierce in Vegas.
Yeah, that's a warning as well.
Yep, I think this is proving maybe he shouldn't have been hired in the first place. Brian Daboll in New York.
That's a warning as well.
That's a watch for me.
I like Daboll a ton. I think it'll end up being a mistake on their part, but I don't know that he makes it.
I think he should actually be able to, like, it's 3 years that he put up with Daniel Jones. Maybe let the guy try and
find
his own
quarterback. Definitely not a double warning on me on that one, though.
That's good. Nick Sirianni.
Watch.
Okay, good. I think most people would say warning because he's a bit of a dodo.
He climbed himself out of the basement.
That brings us to Kevin Stefanski.
Well, he's watch right now.
You think so?
Yeah, he's a watch right now.
You don't
now.
Think it's been decided?
No. He's a watch right now.
I think the most magnanimous thing that's happened on today's show is that I also think it's a watch. But I think the conditions are right, and I think something could be imminent depending on how bad the next. You know what? I thought about this real quick. Would they try and fire him and elevate Mike Vrabel in season simply to try and make sure they can keep Mike Vrabel? Because I think they're going to start feeling the heat about Vrabel around the NFL.
I don't think Vrabel wants to take it over in this moment, because then your first impression of Browns fans is, oh, watch us lose a lot of games.
All right, so do you do a fire Stefanski and hire Vrabel? They do this in college sometimes, and be like, Mike is going to watch kind of how everything goes, but we're going to have an interim coach for the rest of the season, but Mike's the coach for the future.
If that's what Vrabel said he wanted, then yeah, I think they would. I think it's, you don't want to have your introduction be that. You want it to be what Atkinson's doing with the Cavs. It's like, welcome to the team. Here's 13 straight wins.
I just didn't realize how many people didn't know the difference between watch and warning. We got to 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.